Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Praise God. Let me turn to the word of the Lord. John chapter 20, or chapter 2, verse 1. John chapter 2, verse 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. Now let's go to the last verse of this little story. He saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now, or until last. You may be seated. I want to talk for a few moments on the elements of Christ's first miracle. The elements of the first miracle that Jesus Christ ever did. You know, Jesus did not ever perform a miracle that did not have an overriding message concerning his eternal purpose. There are things that I don't know, and you don't know, and I wished I knew. Have you ever wondered why Jesus Christ just didn't walk into every clinic and every hospital and empty them? I've thought about that so many times. But Jesus did not do that. Jesus did not heal most of the sick people that were on earth during his time. Only certain people. And the Bible teaches us that as far as Elijah, a certain person doing a certain miracle. I've always wondered about that. And the best I can come that Jesus Christ did not do miracles where there was not somebody to reciprocate, participate, to desire it. He connected with somebody. Somebody needed something. Like blind Bartimaeus, son of David, have mercy on me. Somebody cried out and somebody called. And so every miracle that Jesus did had an underlying eternal message. When he healed the blind, he was saying, see the kingdom of God. When he healed the deaf, he was saying, hear the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing. When he healed the demonic, healed and delivered the demonic of Gadara, he was saying, I've come to deliver you from the devil. A message. When he raised the dead, it was emblematic of the resurrection that we're all going to experience. And so here we are at Jesus' first miracle. It's kind of strange. This is not the greatest miracle that Jesus ever did. It looks like he would have started with something that was grander. He would raise the dead. He would have done something spectacular. He did a miracle, but it was only something that appeared to those that were there. And it was not a life or death matter. It was just turning water into wine. No big deal. It really kept the wedding from being a failure. And nothing happened in Christ's life by accident. Everything was designed by the Father. And so the first miracle that Jesus ever did was turn the water into wine. That was by divine design. And say, well, I wonder why. Because it was at a wedding, and God places that much emphasis on weddings. When you look at the Bible, he said, when two are joined together, they become one. It's miraculous. When Jesus talked to the woman at the well, he acknowledged five marriages, but then he said, the sixth you're living with is not your husband. He recognized that all of the five had been her husbands, but the sixth one wasn't, because there had never been a wedding. So if you're living together today, I hate to be this blunt, but you're living in sin. And God will not bless your union until you're married. It's more than a cliche, put a ring on it. No, this is God's plan. God says weddings are holy. And the reason being is the wedding, the Bible said the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Everything that happens on earth in God's will, God's time, has been done in God's mind. The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. And so the original wedding in God's mind was not Adam and Eve or you and your spouse. It was Christ and His church. And God places tremendous emphasis on that. He said, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. We, the church, will be married to Christ in a wedding. It's very important to the Lord. And so at the importance of the wedding, Jesus was called and He said, I will do something. He turned the water into wine. Water represents the normal, the fleshly, the carnal. In the Bible, wine always represents the spirit. And so what He was saying is, I will take the normal and make it abnormal, the natural and make it supernatural. I'll take the fleshly and make it spiritual. So it was very important miracle in God's mind that this wedding be emblematic and a symbol of what God was going to do on the earth. And there are some important elements that we need to look at. First of all, the mother of Jesus was there. She was not just a casual guest. She was in some authority, perhaps related to the bride or the groom, most likely the bride. She was in some authority. And so when they ran out of wine, she was in a position to say, I'm going to correct this situation. It's important to note that she was never identified as Mary. She was identified as the mother of Jesus. Because the mother symbolizes what? It symbolizes the church throughout the Bible. The mother is a, the Bible said, Jerusalem, which is the mother of us all. So God is placing specific emphasis on this. The wine is important. The wedding is important. And the fact that Jesus' mother was there. And it was Jesus that called, it was Mary that called for Jesus and said, Son, they are out of wine. What's that to do with me? You're to turn this water into wine. And He said, my time is not yet. It was His mother that decided when the miracle would happen and when His ministry would begin and when His minister, miraculous advent would start. His mother decided that. If we are the church, and the church is the mother, as the Bible indicates it is. And the timing was put not in Jesus' hands, but in His mother's hands. That means that it is very important that the church realize that we are the one that is the timekeeper of life and the timekeeper of destiny and the timekeeper of miracles. Jesus said, my time is not yet. Oh, yes, it is. I'm your mother, and I say it is. And Jesus submitted to that. I'm not sure that we as Christians realize the authority and the power that we have as a church. It's very important that you recognize that you are a child of God, that you're saved. But it's just as important, and a lot of people don't do this. I meet them every week that tell me they're, I don't go to church, and I'm not a, but oh, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer. You are deceiving yourself. A person that says I'm a Christian and never darkens the door of a church is deceiving himself just as much as the man or woman that puts their mother that brought them into this earth in a nursing home and say, I love my mother, and they never go visit them. And it happens all the time. Stick their mother because she's old. Oh, I still love her. If you do, you'll be there to see her, even though things have faded in her life. If you are a Christian, you will be in the church, for God calls it the mother, the bride. You will be interested in what God is doing through his bride, because his bride has unbelievable power. And she said, you're going to turn this water into wine. Jesus said, it's not the right. Oh, yes, it is. The Bible said that Jesus did not know the time or hour when he was coming back in the rapture for his church. That's because we are the one that decides when he's coming back by our actions. Any wedding, almost all of the details are decided by the bride. The groom just shows up and stands in the right place and recites the right words at the right time. But the bride makes all those decisions. And that's not just tradition that happened. That's something that's happened since God began weddings. That the bride would be in the charge of so many decisions. And we say, oh, whatever is the will of God. And Jesus said, pray, because you're the bride. And you pray that the will of God be done on earth, because when you do, it will determine if the will of God is done. And so the church has to come into its role as the bride. We're not a girlfriend. We're not a one-night stand. We're not an experience at the altar. We are a bride forever united with Jesus Christ. That means 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Let me explain to you, if you have a wedding, and when you walk out that door and get in the car, he said, oh, by the way, I'm going to drop you off at a hotel somewhere, and I'm going to meet the buddies for some drinks because I'm going to have a party with my friend. The best thing you can do is annul that wedding. And those that come to an altar and accept Christ and have whatever experience, and they never darken the door, I'm pretty sure that their relationship is annulled. Because Jesus Christ did not call you for a one-night affair or a one-night stand. It's every day and every minute of every day. It's getting up in the morning and saying, the Lord is with me and I will be with the Lord. And I will expect God to do miracles. And I will pray that the will of God be done. And I will intercede until those miracles come to pass. Because Mary, the mother of Jesus at this wedding, was not only his mother, she was the intercessor. She was the one that said, there's going to be a miracle that is going to make this event successful. Ladies and gentlemen, Christ called you not just to be saved, but he called you to be an intercessor, that this world would be changed by God and by his church. And it happens when we are intercessors. And the book of Isaiah has a verse in it that identifies the only thing that God ever wondered about. God doesn't do a lot of wondering because God knows. But the Bible records these words. God wondered that there was no intercessor. God wonders why you, as his bride, because he has given you full authority to make sure that it happens and the timing is up to you. God wonders why we would let our children be lost, why we would let our church be empty, why we would let our nation go to hell as it is. It is not the fault of anybody except the bride, and that is us. The bride is so important. I pastored a wonderful family many years ago, Becky and I, when we first started this church. She was Hispanic. She was younger. He was Italian. They were probably 20 years, but they were wonderful, and they had wonderful children, wonderful girls, all girls. And she died. She and I were the same age. She died when she was 40, so that meant she died 33 years ago. And within a few months, those daughters that had been so wonderful just scattered like quail, and their lives just became terrible. Because the mother was not there. The problem is not that God is not here. The problem is that God has lent so much authority to his bride, and his bride has shirked her duty, and we're not doing what God called us to do because this world is on nothing but water. They're nothing with the supernatural, nothing with the spiritual. New wine is not a part of this world, and we are content to just let them go like they are. But it's time for the church of the living God to say, I call Jesus to this wedding, and I will not be denied. I want this water turned to wine. I want this nation to see revival. I want a miracle to happen that's never happened in America before, from sea to shining sea. It starts with you. The Bible is very clear about this. First you, and then your household. Somebody said, I want to be a preacher. Preach to your daughter. Preach to your son. I want to be a missionary. Reach your son. Reach your daughter. Whatever it takes, become an intercessor. There was no question in Jesus' mind that his mother was not going to be denied. It's not my time. Oh, yes, it is. This is your time. And that's what Christ is waiting for, is for the church to stand up and say, this is our finest hour. And this is our time. And this is our moment. And we are going to have a revival that is going to shake our family first, going to shake our schools, going to shake our church, going to shake our city. And we have that authority. I have been in this genre for a while now, and that is that the church of the living God is not living up to its authority. We must take our rightful place. Desperation is the mother of miracles. Desperation is the mother of miracles and the cousin of intercession. We have got to be more desperate than they are. I deal with people every day, and most of them are younger people, and they're plumbers. And they're contractors, and they're business people. And I fuss all the time to Becky. When Judy was here, we're about all the same age. I fussed her all the time. And they said, what's the problem? And I said, there is no urgency in this younger generation. I was raised where everything was urgent. We got to do it today. We got to do it to now. It's got to happen right now. We got a leak, plumber, you got to be here now. The lights out, electrician, you can't come in 5 days. You got to come right now. My lights are out. Everything is urgent with me. And that carries over and is multiplied in the church. There's nothing as urgent as the mission of the church. You cannot come later, Jesus. You've got to come now. He was called with his disciples to the wedding. It has to be now. And then she said, you've got to turn the water into wine now. Ladies and gentlemen, we have waited as long as we can. We must become more urgent than we've ever been. And we must become desperate. And we have to realize there is a heaven and there is a hell. Apparently, many Christians don't believe that there's either one. They believe that Christianity is just to do good while you're on this earth. That's not true. There's a heaven. There's a hell. There is an urgency inside of me. Do you look at people that are lost and say, what a nice person that's going to spend their life in hell? Do you ever get urgent about that? Do you ever get desperate about that? Friend, there is a desperation in my spirit that says we cannot allow this world to be watered down. We've got to have the miracle of turning that water into wine. Something's got to happen. And I don't think it's going to happen anywhere outside of the church. Are you really pleased with Mr. Biden as president? I think he's a tremendous failure. Were you really pleased with Mr. Trump? I think he was a tremendous failure. But it's not their fault, because they're asked to do something that they can't do. It's the church's responsibility. Revival's not going to happen because the economy gets better or our foreign policy's better. It's going to happen because the church said, Jesus, we cannot let this wedding, this union, we cannot let it end in disaster. We have to have a miracle. And I'm saddened when I hear preachers preaching nationwide that the day of miracles are over. Ladies and gentlemen, the day of miracles have not even started yet. We're going to see more miracles in the last days of our life before Christ comes than we have seen in the history of the church of the living God. Oh, friend, it is time for the church to set the date of the wedding. It's time for us to declare that we can change this world. She said to the servants, she said, whatever he asks you to do, do it. He said, fill the water pots with water. She assigned the word. The first responsibility is decide the time. The time is now. Jesus said the time is now. The fields are white. Don't say 4 months and then the harvest. It's now. Assign the time. That's our role as the church. We've got to begin to say it's got to happen now. Not 5 years from now, but now. We've got to pray until it happens. We've got to intercede until it happens. We've got to bombard heaven till it happens. Jesus, you have to come now. I don't know what Jesus and his disciples were doing, but I do know that he was called to the wedding. He wasn't there. He was called to the wedding. He was doing something else, and his mother interrupted him. Friend, you are a child of God. You are the wife of Christ. You have the authority to interrupt God no matter what he's doing. Because the most important thing in this world is the wedding. What we are involved in, this church service, is much more important. I watched as the Spurs were honored by those that went into the Hall of Fame yesterday. And I was glad for them. Nice people, great athletes. But I thought, how insignificant that is compared to what we are doing. That will fade away. But what we're doing is eternal. We've got to place more emphasis on this than the Hall of Fame. Let me explain. The Hall of Faith is much more important than the Hall of Fame. We have got to become what God called us to be and the position that he placed. And so Jesus gave to his mother, no matter what I'm doing, you're my mama. You can call me anytime and interrupt me. Ladies and gentlemen, God's not going to put you on hold. God's not got a secretary that says, I'll call you back. God will answer you immediately every time if you become desperate and hungry and thirsty enough for the things of God. So we must assign the word. The word is in our Bibles. We know what it says, but we have to get it off the pages and into our life. We have to get it off the pages and into our spirits, off the pages and into our family. What does the Word of God say? Friend, I promise you that for every problem that you face as an individual and every problem your family faces, there is a scripture that is the remedy to that problem. But it's up to you to get that out of the Bible and get it off of the dusty page and get it into your spirit and say, this word is going to come alive in my family. I'm going to be a miracle worker. I can cast out devils. I can heal the sick. I can remit sins. I'm going to change my family. I'm going to change my life. And the last point that I want to make is, the man said, this is the best wine I've ever tasted. And it's at the last of the party instead of the first. Because when man does it, it's at the first. Because after he's drank a while, his senses will be dulled and he won't notice it. So we serve the cheaper wine, but you have kept the best to the last. Man's best efforts with time always embraces the law of diminishing quality. That's a mouthful. Let me say it again. Man's best efforts with time always embraces the law of diminishing quality. When I meet a guy my age now, he's in the nursing home. All my friends are either dead or at the nursing home. Well, not you. But seriously, when I always say, what did you do before you retired? And it's amazing what some of them did. But now they're not doing anything. They're retired. Their life has diminished. Friend, no matter how much education you get, no matter how much money you accumulate, no matter what you accomplish, your life will diminish, and there's not one thing you can do about it. Not one thing. Louis L'Amour said, old age is not for sissies. Your life diminishes. And that's what they said. We serve the best wine first, and then it will diminish. But Jesus, you have reversed this trend. It started good, but the best is at the last. If man's best efforts with time always embrace the law of diminishing quality, God's miracle always embraces the law of increasing quality. The Bible said of his increase, there is no end. Friend, I want to tell you, if you choose man over God, your life will diminish. But if you will choose God over man, your life will increase and increase and increase and increase and increase. And you don't have to die defeated. You can die victorious. You can die as my friend in Shelbyville, Indiana, which was an inspiration to me when I was a boy just starting to preach. He was such a great preacher and such a wonderful man. And he grew to be 80-some years of age. And his son took over his church. And they're riding down the road. His son is driving. He's in the passenger seat. He looks at his son and said, dude, I'll be leaving now. Take care of the people and love them. He lifted his hands and said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He closed his eyes and stepped into heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, I promise you that if you will get desperately hungry, if you will get thirsty, if you will get desperate for God to work in your life and put God first, he'll take the water and turn it into wine. And most of all, he will make your last days, the quality days of your life. And when you die, there will be nothing but rejoicing, because there will be no question in the mind of the people that know you best that you stepped from a flawed life and a flawed world into a place where there is no flaw and there is no sin and there is no pain and there is no failure. Ladies and gentlemen, as long as I've got breath in my body, I'm going to be like the wife of Christ, and I'm going to be saying, turn the water into wine, and I will not be denied. It's time, it's time, it's time now, it's time today, on this Sunday, it's time for my miracle. I won't live any longer with sickness in my body. I won't live any longer with my children going to hell. This is the time, this is the hour, and this is the day, and I am the one that can call Jesus to this wedding and save the disaster and turn it to a miracle. And you can do that with your life. You can turn a disaster into a miracle if you will do that. Would you stand on your feet, please?